The second parak, the conclusion of the second parak of Kriyat Shema is very similar to the first parak. The three primary differences are, number one, the direction is much more to children as opposed to the first parak. In the first parak, Vishinatam Lufanacha is a famous pasuk, but then there's a break, Viti Barta Bam, where Kriyat Baruch was saying to us, to a human being, you have to teach your children, but you also have to speak about Torah. Whereas in the second parak, the entire focus is l'manitem osam es b'nechem l'daber bam. So there's really only one verb. L'manitem osam es b'nechem l'daber bam. So the consequence of that is that's why many Rishonim, most Rishonim, feel the second parasha of Kriyat Shema is not min haTorah. The first parasha of Kriyat Shema is midiraisa, so we'll talk about this today in Shir, because the Torah says, v'dibar tabam, you should read this parak. The second parasha, the Torah never says, v'dibar tabam. The Torah says, teach your children, so they will be l'daber bam. V'adetem osam es b'nechem l'daber bam. So halachically, that's a fascinating concept. Aside from the halacha, like, what's the message of the second parak? Obviously, there's a greater stress on teaching in the second parak than in the first parak. What that has to do with the second parak's drama about galus and geula, as opposed to the first parak that doesn't mention galus and geula, I'm still thinking about. Maybe you have an answer. Why is teaching so emphasized in that second parak that talks about leaving the land and returning to the land? Is the Torah telling us that one of the ways to come back to Eretz Yisrael is by teaching the next generation Torah, that Hashem realizes that maybe there'll be a break in the Masara for some generations that are outside of Eretz Yisrael that will lose some of their Torah, but there'll be a recovery of Torah by the next generation and that will lead to the return to the land? Is it what we're witnessing today, where unfortunately in previous generations there wasn't so much Talmud Torah, and now Baruch Hashem there's a resurgence of Talmud Torah in the next generation? That's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nevuah to Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu's Nevuah V'Heshev Le'Vavos HaBanim Le'Banim HaLavosam, that Eliyahu's job is to try to smooth over some of the differences and frictions between generations. I don't know yet, I'm still thinking about why the first parak emphasizes your own Talmud Torah, even though ironically that iconic pasuk Vishinantan is in the first parak, but yet Vishinantan Lufanecha was in the second parak. Of course, if you can't learn, you can't teach. If you don't teach, you're not learning. But why does one parak emphasize v'divar tabam, the other parak emphasizes v'lamaditem osam es b'nechem? The second difference is what the Ramban notices, is that the language of learning Torah is different between the first parak and the second parak. In the first parak, the language is v'shinantam. Now, v'shinantam is actually a double entendre, and I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. On the one hand, it means to review and to read and to constantly remember, which suggests less in-depth analysis and more just reading and Chazal say she'divrei Torah shanim b'ficha, recall and retention and familiarity and conversance, not necessarily in-depth. Although v'shinantam is also from the lashon of shanon b'chad, which sounds like a knife that does penetrate something beneath the surface. But the difference between that is that lashon doesn't appear in the first part. The first part discusses Torah. The second part says, so this leads the Ramban in Parshas Ekev to feel that the mitzvah of the second part, at least through the prism of Talmud Torah, is much more of an in-depth analysis and internalizing. I've told you so often in yeshiva, the goal of Lamdos is not just to have a deeper understanding and a more, but in order to personalize and internalize Torah, you have to understand it deeply. There's a correlation between how deep you understand something and how much you internalize it. Things you understand very shallow, it's very hard to internalize because you're not digging to the core of its identity. When you dig to the core of something, you're able to put it on your heart. So, Samtem es devareila, similar, let's say, to the end of Shir HaShirim, where at least the simple reading of the Sefer is not about Talmud Torah. The Netziv wrote a famous parish on Shir HaShirim, which he calls Rina Shel Torah, which the entire Sefer is a, quote-unquote, a romance between us and Torah. So it's a whole different way to read Shir HaShirim. But the Pashas of Shir HaShirim, it's a romance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the end of Shir Hashirim, when our love finally has gone through all those trials and finally is deep, see many kachosam al libecha, kachosam al zarecha, ki azda kamavizava, kashaki shalkina. So when you've reached a depth and a level of understanding, then you can put it on your heart. See many kachosam al libecha, which is in general why we put tefillin near our heart, because our goal is to try to get into our neshama, into our subsystem, into our subpsyche, not just to get into our heads. So, and the heart should drive the head. Obviously, you have to use your head, but the heart should drive the head, which is why in both parshas, and of course, al pi halacha, the tefillin shel yad comes before the tefillin shel rosh. There's a sequence of the yad and rosh. Why is tefillin shel yad? The pasuk shatam yosa adecha, v'yulatatafos ben enecha. But that sequence is reflective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating an ordinating or an organization of epistemology, how we acquire knowledge. It has to start with desire. It has to start with emotional identification, and then you use your head to try to understand something. And then the reverse is also true. You take off your tefillin shorosh, b'choleshu al roshecha yu al levavecha. That after the intellectual experience is finished and you take off your shorosh, then you have to try to internalize. So the emotional internalization is necessary both to motivate and to frame the process, and also should come as the suffix or as the conclusion of the process. Now that I've studied it, how could I internalize it more deeply? So those are two of the signature differences between the first parak and the second parak as they reach its conclusion. One is, who is the parak talking to? The first parak is primarily talking to a person. Second parak is talking to a father. The second difference, even though the word banecha appears in both parsha, but v'shinantam levanecha is truncated by v'dibarta bam. The second difference is it describing Torah being learned derech shinon, or Torah being learned v'samtem al levavchem v'al nafshechem v'kshotem asam v'al sayedchem. Then, of course, the parak ends with one of the references in the Torah to tchias ha-mesim. Tchias ha-mesim isn't explicitly described in the Torah, but there are multiple remazim. One of them is Zaman yirbo yimechem yimei v'nechem al ha-damar shen asan Hashem l'seis lahem ki mei ha-shamayim malar. It's not l'seis lahem, talking to the people in the Midbar, but l'seis lahem, to those that will come later on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He promises Eretz Yisrael, when we come back from Galus, when we recover from Yishem Rilachem Pen Yiftel Avavchem Bavaratem Yiram Yal Eretz HaTovah, Hashem promises to return Eretz Yisrael to those people. So it's also interesting why there's a reference to Tches HaMesim Dafka in the end of the second parak of Kriya Shema, not in the end of the first parak of Kriya Shema. So these are some food for thought, why that reference appears Dafka in the second parak. Okay? Mitzvah tomorrow, we'll speak a little bit about the third parsha, then we'll move back to the Brachos Kriya Shema. The Brachos Yotzer Or, Avraham, and of course the Brachos at night, so we'll try to dissect them.